We're going to make plays. We're going to play hard. We're going to do what we got to do. O-line, D-line, toughness, 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 toughness.
Hey, Buckeye Nation. Welcome to the Buckeye Cast, your only commercial-free Ohio State football podcast. These guys were born and bred in the Buckeye State, and they like to talk Buckeye football and drink bourbon. Subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcast. Now, pour a drink and pull up a stool. Here's your host, Joe Warwick.
What is up? We are back. We are back, baby. Yep. Please rate, review the show. Follow us on all social media. I know my Twitter accounts have gotten suspended by Twitter, so we appreciate that, nerds. They don't like my podcast or my website, so who knows the reason. But anyways, my current Twitter handle is TBC_Joe. Okay, TBC_Joe. So just search for TBC Joe. You'll probably find it. Right now, we do have free shipping going on in the supply store, so take advantage of that while it lasts. Going to be cutting that off shortly. Sean, there is something I really need to share with you, and this might blow your mind. Okay?
Try.
So this week, I was looking at our stats from our most recent episode, and I was looking at the geographic location of these said stats. This is going to blow your mind. Obviously, we get the bulk of our traffic from the United States, right? But we are getting...
I would think so.
We are huge, and by huge, I mean 6 downloads in Germany. We've got downloads in the UK. I see you, white folks. Norway, Iceland, we got downloads. Spain, we are huge in Europe. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, I mean, it's kind of fitting because, you know, Friday night was the Pitbull concert. Mr. Worldwide.
No, we're worldwide. He's no longer Mr. Worldwide. This show is worldwide. We're taking over. So, yeah, I mean, the Germans kicking it in there with their brats and beers. We got the Niederlanders.
That's military. Hats off to the service members.
Of course.
Appreciate you.
Italians coming in with all the best food ever. Greece. We even got some Greece in there with some their shawarmas and their lamb. So...
I mean, I would love to think that there's Italians, and I mean, I know there's American Italians, but people in... I think these are all probably military or expats.
Right. I assume that, but hey, who knows? Maybe there's the rogue Englishman that is suddenly a college football fan, and he picks Ohio State.
I mean, maybe Magnus von Magnusson in Iceland's listening to us, yeah. You know, he loves it. Right.
We're even getting some love in Africa and South America. I know those Brazilian girls love to listen to the Buckeye Cast.
This is not football. We're talking right. Football.
But in the U.S., we're in 25 states, which is kind of surprising. You know, I see the 419 repping for us. And Ohio is obviously going to bring in the bulk of our traffic, but we're huge in Florida, the Bay Area, California as well. Illinois for some reason, big time Buckeye contingent, Illinois and Tennessee. So,
well, you get enough. Chicago's a big enough city. You got enough Columbus grads heading out there. Heading up that way for sure.
New York's got a nice coverage. But my point is, of all this, is to say that the Buckeye Cast is legitimately worldwide. So, like I said, Pitbull can kiss my ass. Anyways, so that was a trip down around the globe. And you have any bourbon you want to discuss tonight? Anything new on that front?
No, no, unfortunately not. Kept it pretty sane this weekend and had some girls' soccer tournament action I needed to attend to.
Oh.
Did have a couple Peronis with an Italian dinner, which was nice. Outside of that, nah.
Nice. They didn't have bourbon at the girls' soccer?
No, not at the concession.
That's unfortunate.
Not at the concession.
Thought you lived in a nice area.
Well, I was over in Grand Rapids, which is a nice area. It's a great town. I highly recommend it.
The GR?
Yeah. Okay.
So I have a very important question for you right now. And what I would like to know is, how do you feel now that we officially are living in the C.J. Stroud era? How does it make you feel?
I don't know. It makes me feel like, okay, I like that there's a guy. I wasn't pulling for C.J. Stroud over Miller or anybody. Taking the coach's judgment on, hey, this is our guy. Heard nothing but good things, and you know, when I read some excerpts out of people watching practices and stuff, that he's really taken on a leadership role. And so I'm happy for the kid. Kind of like they said in that presser, it's not an accomplishment, it's an opportunity. So, there's a couple guys chomping at the bit to get in there. So
yeah.
Go out there and perform, kid. But it's yours to lose at this point. I mean, there's no more doubting that. It is your spot, and I wish him well. I think I think he'll do a fine job. I mean, to be the quarterback's coach at Ohio State, I almost think that they couldn't go wrong, frankly.
Yeah.
But I think Stroud probably shown the most, has the more complete game. It sounds like from Day's cryptic comments, I feel like Stroud's game's more complete, and you know, Miller and
McCord.
Miller and McCord are looking good, but you know, they just got some other things to work on that Stroud might be a little bit ahead.
Yeah.
But so it's good. Let's see it, you know, and I was happy to hear, you know, Day's comments that, you know, everybody's bought in and he doesn't expect anybody to leave soon. He's like, you know, I'm sure come January, people start rethinking about things, but these guys have bought in and they're on board. They know, I think Miller and McCord know at this point that they could be on a championship level football team. Mm-hmm. And it's I don't know, it's got to be at least a coin flip that that one of those two come in and have to perform and help this team win that natty at some point during the season or late in the season. So, I could see them being fully bought in, and I think they'll probably reassess after next year. Quinn isn't going to be a factor at all this year. I mean, people that are saying him get in, I just don't see it. Unless Jack or Kyle were to, you know, jump ship like now or in the middle of the season.
Right.
I can't see Quinn, because these guys have put in the work, and I don't know, I don't think it'd be fair to not let Jack Miller get in there.
Right.
And even if Jack's going to end up transferring or whatnot, hey, at least, you know, get something on film for the kid, help the kid out a little bit. He's been, from what I understand, a great Buckeye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I believe, so you're saying this backup QB discussion is probably the real debatable area, right? I mean, it seems like McCord is the guy there from what I'm hearing.
I feel like that's the way I'm hearing it too, that it's leaning more that way, but I'm not, look, they came out and said who the number 7 is going to be starting. I don't know about Jack and Kyle. I still think that's up in the air. I'm, It seems that I would agree. It seems like McCord might be leading that. Probably just because it's more raw talent or something with McCord. Higher ceiling, probably.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for Jack because he was the first commitment of all of them. And now he got, you know, jumped by CJ, jumped by Kyle, you know, the way it looks. And he...
Yeah, but I mean, life's tough in big time college football. But from everything I know about this kid, he's a class act and he's a program guy. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Jack stayed on another year.
Yep.
Even after this year,
I'd say that the speculation is, and it's just purely speculation, is that he would be the first one in the portal. You know, which makes sense because he's the same age as Stroud.
Right. Yeah. I would agree. I would agree he's going, and I think, again, there's at least a coin flip chance that that Kyle goes too.
Yeah.
And I think that'll depend more on what they do with Quinn this year. I'm hoping for a complete red shirt, not even in a game.
It's very possible. I mean, injuries do always happen, but that would be the only thing that would – I think get Quinn Ewers into a game because I think he's he's very much in need of getting ready for college football physically, not just mentally. Forget about the playbook, you know.
Yeah.
So
different animal.
Exactly. So anyway, tonight we're going to talk offense too deep. So. Next week, we're going to do defense and get you ready for the Minnesota game after that. So keep an eye out for those shows. But this week, we're sticking strictly on the offense, and we've got a lot to choose from, especially in that receiver room. There's so many dudes and quality dudes. Same in the running back room. O-line is...
Yeah, but I don't know if you heard... Day's thing. Day basically laid out the receivers, at least the ones.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And they caught it.
Yeah, but the depth and the rotation, because they're going to probably rotate six. So, you know, you got...
Well, they've got a good thing. We got six.
Plus. We got six plus. So, yeah. So let's jump into it, and we'll see if Jeff joins in here at some point. Doubtful. So obviously, quarterback we just ran through. CJ's the guy, starter. I'm going McCord for the backup. Do you really think Miller is this going to be like, first of all, I got to back up to what Day said on Saturday. He said that CJ, do you read anything into this? He said CJ is the starter for week one. People start parsing words and they're like, well, he said he's the starter for week one. Is this like an ongoing competition? And I don't buy into that, but I wondered what you thought of that.
I didn't hear that, but so this is the first time that I did hear of it. I don't. I mean, other than that's kind of Day's thing when he talks and coach speaks, like he's our week one starting quarterback, and to me that means he's our starting quarterback unless something starts going bad. You know, if he gets out there and he can't play and he's missing everything and the moment's too big for him, and he's going to have some big moments right out of the gate. So I mean, those things, it could change that dynamic. I mean, we're not going to know until we know. But obviously, the skills around him to excel, but I don't read anything into that. To me, I felt like he's confident that Stroud's the guy, and basically right now they're working on who number two is. And just to dissent from you, I'll say Jack gets the if Stroud were to go down, I think Jack Miller would go in for him.
Week one, yeah. I agree. But I think that...
If it's a blowout midseason or whatever, I think Kyle's probably going in.
I think that is where the ongoing competition is taking place, the backup role throughout the season, you know, where the starter's solidified, you know, but barring some catastrophe. But I think that's where the real competition is going to be ongoing all year, is between Jack and Kyle.
But yeah, early on, especially these bright light games, at least Jack's been on the field, taking a snap. I would think they'd go with him the first couple weeks, probably.
Yeah. All right. So we got our two deep is Stroud, and we're going to debate that one. So,
yep.
All right. Running back room. Now, this is a thick room with lots of talent, not a lot of experience, and some guys have just strictly completely been forgotten about, like Marcus Crowley for some reason. So, I'm going with my guy, the big dog, Porchak Williams, as a starter. And I'm going with Teague as his backup. This is week one now. This is week one. This is not week 12.
I'm flipping that script.
Okay.
I think out of respect for longevity and what Teague has done here, I think Master Teague will be the starting running back for the 2021 season. However, we're talking about two deep. And I feel, I guess for this game, I would go Master Teague, then Mayan Williams. I think you're going to start seeing Trevion right out of the gates heavy. And I think as the season progresses, it's going to be Mayan Williams, Trevion Henderson, the two guys on the 2D. And Master Teague will probably be an or. You know, it'll be whoever Mayan or Trevion starting. And the backup will be Master Teague or the other, right. You know. That'd be my guess. And they might even list the quarterbacks that same way, week one. Jack Miller or Kyle.
All right, so let's look at it this way. Week one, let's divide up carries between, let's go with three guys. Give me your percentages on your top three.
Oh, I feel this is almost going to be evenly split. Between the top three, between all
so
three.
So let's say 30 carries.
I'm saying 10 apiece.
Okay. All right. I'm going heavy lean on Porkchop to get the first carry. And I'm going with Teague to come in. You know, maybe they do a different guy every quarter or a different guy every other drive. And I think Trevion probably gets, I would say, max 10 carries for the game, and that's if it's a blowout. If it's a close one into the fourth quarter, I think they stick with the older guys. I think
what I'd like to see happen is I'd like to see Teague get into his own form, and everything I hear, he looks like a monster. He looks fast. I'd love to see 21 play out where Master Teague is a bell cow, you know, 18 to 20 carries a game, and Mayan Williams and Trevion Henderson are, you know, 7-8 a game. Yeah.
I haven't heard a peep about Marcus Crowley.
I know.
Nobody's even talked about him. So I wonder if...
You don't hear much about him, and, I mean, I'm assuming that there's going to be some dinged up guys in this running back room, which would put Crowley in a position to get some carries, some meaningful carries at some point in the season. I'm surprised you don't see more of them, especially with Steel Chambers flipping over to the other side.
I haven't even heard a mention of him on any message boards or anything. So maybe he's looking to jump in the portal.
Who's that? Who's jumping in the portal, Joe?
I'm just speculating.
Crowley.
We're running through the offense too deep here.
I know. Sorry, I'm late.
It's all right.
Glad to be with you guys.
Good to have you. So
yeah, good to have me. Right.
well, we can get your opinion quickly on quarterback position. Sean said he doesn't feel super excited about living in the C.J. Stroud era, which I found disconcerting.
What do we know? What does Sean know? What do I know? What do you know, Joe? I mean, like the coaches see it. They say he's the best to lead our offense. Who are we to judge our coaches, you know, picking TJ as a leader?
That's
who are we? Who are we to judge?
I'm happy we can be with it.
We should be. I mean, we should be because we should think that TJ has earned a certain level. Like, he has performed at a certain level. Like, okay, he's a Ohio State quarterback now. You know what I mean?
Right.
So our coach has deemed him.
I wouldn't have cared who. I didn't have a horse in this race. I didn't care who they picked, and I would have trusted any of these three. Now, if they would have went Quinn Ewers, I would have lost my shit.
Yeah. Way too early for
him. He's out with COVID.
Way too early, man. He's got COVID now?
He's at least quarantining. He's away from the team till next week. Either they're making him quarantine or he had some kind of, you know, contact tracing bullshit. I don't know what the fuck people are making their decisions on nowadays. It seems like a bunch of fucking, you know, shots in the dark and people just throwing darts.
A lot of however and whenever's.
Yeah, what have you? So
you're right.
So
that, how are you policing it at this stage?
Right. So
you're right.
Have you gotten into
the too deep yet? Or
yeah, we started. The real discussion about quarterback comes to the backup role, and it's between McCord and Miller, and Sean and I disagreed. I'm going Kyle McCord as the backup right now, and Sean says that if C.J. Stroud can't cut the mustard week one, that Jack Miller is the one to go in.
I think more if he goes down. I think just Jack's been there longer. There's probably a little more trust right there. I don't know if Jack will hold McCord off for long, but week one, week two, I think it's Jack Miller.
Sean, are you basing that opinion on just like the first game or going forward? Because I think maybe the first game, the opinion may vary.
Yes, certainly.
If something happens in the first game, it's Jack, but down the road, it's going to be Kyle.
I think it is. I would think that the coaches would, just for logistics and timing of it, would prefer the younger guy be the better quarterback. Why wouldn't you? Hey, this guy's going to be here longer, so. All things being equal, I think they'd rather have Kyle McCord in there. I just think games one and two are tricky little games, and if you get put in the spot, I think Jack Miller's been in the system a little longer, and that's basically what I'm basing it off of, is that he's probably more ready to jump into that spotlight. He's taken some snaps before. Kyle was in high school last year, so... maybe they're that comfortable with Kyle. I don't know. I just, those first two games, I would think they would err on the side of safety.
Okay. Jeff, what do you think?
Okay.
Who do you have as your backup?
It sounds good to me. You know, without any one of them, because I think from everything we've read or everything, every rumor we've heard or whatever, Kyle McCord is the best pure passer. But Jack has a lot of highs, but he has some lows. So he's kind of up and down. I think Kyle's the oncomer just with his arm strength. He's probably showing a lot arm talent-wise. So I think nobody wants to wrinkle any feathers, but it's probably Kyle McCord in that room. And hey, the team don't lie. You can't lie to the team. You know what I mean? I think the team probably sees Kyle McCord as the better ball thrower.
But you got to keep in mind, Jack was the first QB committed of the guys in the room. So there may be a sense of loyalty to Jack.
I mean, I'm going on who I think the coach needs him to side so he doesn't transfer. That's a different question, nice. In my opinion.
So does a happy ending come with that, or...
I think Coach Day's trying to massage it right now. You know, he's trying to keep all the quarterbacks here. He doesn't want any of them to leave. I'm sure he doesn't. Yeah. You know, but you know, Jack Miller's probably feeling right now like he's three. He's probably got those feelings. I don't know, but he seems pretty loyal. So I mean, we're all jumping to conclusions when we try to get in, the kid's head as far as what he feels about the university and his opportunity.
So you're saying that
I think Ryan is working. I think he's got McCord second, and I think he's really trying to massage these quarterbacks' egos, right, and mind and just trying to get their mind state right.
So you're saying at the end of this massage, somebody's always going to be sore.
Somebody's not getting a happy ending for sure.
Somebody's not going to be sore.
And they're towel on the road. Yeah. That's what I think. I know.
Okay.
It seems that's the way it is. You know, one of them's going to leave because at least one of them is going to think they need to get on the playing field sooner than they would here.
Okay. So let's move on to running back.
Let's do it.
Let's go to running back. Sean, we'll just kind of quickly run through our comments we made earlier. oh, my God. So I'm going Porkchop Williams with my starter, with Teague backing him up. And if I had to divvy up the carries, I'm going, if there's 30 carries in the game, 30 runs, I'm going probably 15 Porkchop, 10 Teague, and a handful to Trey Henderson. What do you think, Sean?
Well, I told you, I've got a flip-flop. I think out of loyalty, out of past production, I think Teague gets the nod as the starter. I think Mayan Williams is in line for that, too. Could possibly be, say, a Mayan Williams or Travion Henderson in that spot, as Ohio State is apt to do. Again, over the 30 carries we hashed it earlier, Joe, I think you're going to see a pretty even split on this, 10-10-10. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see Master T get back into form and just be a stud this year and see him get 20 carries a game and the other guys kind of get, handful, 7-8 carries. But I think it's really, from everything I've heard, I think Teague's earned the right to compete. I think Mayan Williams has busted his ass. And I think Travion Henderson's too electric to keep off the field. So I think they're going to try them all and fairly evenly out of the gate.
What do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, everything we've read, everything we've heard, Trey Henderson looks explosive. He's consistently busting off big runs. So he's in his pass protection, from what Ryan Day said, is standard. It's the standard that we need at Ohio State. No, there's been no negative comments, of course. Sean's probably pretty close with an even split type of sharing, but it seems like Mayan Williams, it's tough to guess who's going to be out there for the starting snap, because that starting snap might be four wide and one tailback is an obvious passing down. It sounds like Mayan Williams has really earned it, but he is still the standard bearer for the backfield. And Trey Henderson, no, he won't get the first. I will rule him out as first in the backfield, but I think we're going to see a lot of him. That Thursday. I think we'll see a lot of him earlier.
So if you got 30 carries to divvy up, how do you dice them up between those three?
It might be close to that 10-10-10.
Okay.
And they're going to come in different points of the game.
Sure.
Obviously, how the game plays out will play the big factor in that.
Right.
But you could see Master Teague say get the first two and then the last eight. You know what I mean? I could see that for sure. Grind them out. We're up a couple touchdowns. Maybe 17 points we're up. Yeah. And then we're just grinding on them, pounding off the clock, Yeah. And then the T comes back in and finishes it.
Yeah, all right. Let's move out to tight end here. Obviously, Rucker has to be the starter. I don't think anybody can debate that, right?
No, yeah. I mean, yeah. In the one tight end set, two tight end set, Ruckert's the pass option out of the tight end slot for sure. No argument.
So I'm going Cade Stover with the second tight end. He's a second-year guy. Definitely knows how to hit people, and I think really enjoys hitting people. So I'm going Rucker Stover for my 2-deep. Sean, what do you think? Don't forget we have Royer and G. Scott Jr. in this mix.
Well, obviously it's Rucker. I mean, there's no debating that. The guy hopefully brings the tight end position back to life for the Buckeyes. But it's easy, Jeremy Rucker. But I'm gonna pull the Ohio State thing. I think Cade Stover and G. Scott Jr. It's gonna be an or, and I think it's a valid or because I think it's gonna be an or based on the situation. I think if it's third and one and we're running a two tight end set, and I think it's gonna be Cade Stover because I hear he's an absolute mauler and he's just killing people. If it's third and 16 and we're going to split out the tight end, I think it's going to be G. Scott. So to me, that's really going to be situation dependent, and I think you almost have to put, I'd be surprised if there's not an or with these two right here.
Okay. Jeff, you give any love to Joe Royer, Bob Ross?
I like to think that G. Scott is the opposite option of Cade Stover. From what we've heard from the coaches, because we haven't seen anything, there's no film. Joe Royer, what's his name? Sam Hart.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. We haven't seen that. We don't know anything. So I'm gonna go with the name I know and the weapon that I think they wanted to move in that position. He's got it, and Stover, you have the edge setting blocking of Stover, but like Sean's saying, it's based on formation, down and distance, all that shit. So get G. Scott in the slot on a 5'10 185 corner. Yeah, that's a beautiful matchup to have down the middle of the field.
Okay. Yeah, with the other three guys.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And there's two other guaranteed All Americans and probably a third All American too. Mm-hmm. And in a route tree. So I mean, yeah, there's options. I mean, but they say Cade Stover is a beast. He's setting the edge on power side block and.
Yeah, he takes over the Luke Farrell role from previous years.
Exactly. Yeah, I think he slides right
just
in.
A hammer.
And Rucker, they keep Rucker at the spot where they had him, yep. You know, on that pro personnel. So
occasionally you throw Stover a bone to keep him happy, you know, a little drag route over the middle or something, and let him lower the boom on a safety.
Yeah.
So
hey, right. Coach, let me hit somebody every now and then.
Exactly. Yeah. Instead of just hitting linebackers. So let's look at the receivers here. This is a deep, deep group. We know they're probably going to rotate six because they can, mostly.
Yeah. And they have it. I think it's it. I think it's set.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like it's set.
So, Sean, we'll start with you on this one. What do you think?
Well, if you're going XZ slot, however we're defining those, yeah. I think Dave even alluded to it, that it's, you know, obviously – Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jackson Smith, and Ajiba. Those are your top three. Throw that in with Rucker or G. Scott. Good luck, America. Good luck. But backing them up, equally as talented, and I'd say good luck, America, naming these three off. I think behind Wilson, you're going to have Marvin Harrison Jr., who, you know, even some of those videos and stuff, and to me, I thought it was more name, and it's like, okay, Mike Vito, you got a big name in here. This kid is a flat out stud. I mean, I'm digging him big time. Joe, I think you said it maybe last week or whatever. I think people have forgot about Julian Fleming.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to be surprised this year that this guy is a man child. And he'll step in second behind that Olave slot. Mm-hmm. And then, The other freshman, Amika Ibuka, comes in for the slot, giving Jackson Smith a blow. And I mean, I couldn't be happier with that. I mean, I feel like we are set at receiver for at least 3 years. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't argue with that lineup. That's pretty much what I had written in stone. Yeah, Fleming coming off a shoulder surgery. He dealt mostly last year with a partially separated shoulder. So to see what he did still in limited action was amazing. And to see him healthy is going to be huge. Harrison, yeah. I think he was the first receiver to get his black stripe off, maybe.
Absolutely. It was really, really.
Yeah. So, and then Igbuka, of course, they say this kid's just fucking huge, like muscular huge, which doesn't really go with a slot receiver so much. Usually it's a smaller, quicker guy. So we'll see how that plays out. Maybe he ends up outside at some point. So, Jeff, you got any differing opinions on those six? I mean, we do have some other dudes.
I mean, it's that top six, whatever that formation is, but it's that six rotation. Jaden Ballard,
yeah, we've heard
a lot of good things about him, though. From we haven't heard anything negative about him. You know, we've heard a few good things, but it seems to be clearly cut. It's that six. You have those the three and they're number twos, but I mean. There's going to be more that play this year than just
that. Yeah, there's going to be a couple more that get in there and catch passes for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But those six, I will put, nobody in the country has a six like us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say nobody in the country has a three like us.
No.
But if you extend it to four, five, six, whatever. And outside of that, I don't know, Jaden, but I don't know if I'd go to the best seven. But if we get the best six, I'll ride with that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Excited. I'm super excited. Super excited because there's no excuse. There's no excuse of, well, we didn't have the weapons this freshman year. Mm-hmm. You know, the quarterback couldn't make it happen. No bullshit. We got everything that quarterback needs. We have everything our quarterback needs.
Exactly.
Everything.
And moving on to
everything.
Yeah, the most important area that a young quarterback needs is, oh, by the way, can you guys confirm this? I heard this once or twice. Does Ohio State have a quarterback on their roster that has thrown a college pass?
Not yet. Not yet.
Confirmed?
I heard okay, not yet. Thanks. I heard not one yet.
Sean, do you know if Ohio State has a quarterback that is over 19 years old?
I don't know. I'm going to guess none are.
Okay.
I cannot confirm nor deny.
Okay.
I haven't checked any IDs, man. So I mean, that's not for me to say.
Okay,
show me your papers, viewers.
Yeah. So let's move to the O line, the most important need and necessity for a young quarterback to keep him upright. O line, a lot of names here, especially when you get into the two deep. A lot of moving parts. So I'm going to just rattle it off. I think it's been well publicized to this point. Unless you've been living under a rock, this is the way it's going to go. Left tackle, Nicholas Petit-Frere. Left guard, Thayer Munford. So Munford moves inside. Harry Miller, center. Paris Johnson, right guard. And then at right tackle, DeJuan Jones. So that's what they're rolling with, and it's an interesting move. A lot of it, like we talked last week, hinged on DeJuan Jones getting his shit together and then putting it on the field, you know?
Well, one thing that might throw a wrench in that, and I agree with you, that's the way that they want it to be. But have I heard that been a little dinged up and maybe out of some of the practices, Thayer Munford?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, now what does that do?
Yeah.
Now you're looking for someone to throw in at that other guard spot.
It's the whole question. Is Thumper, is he going to be ready for opening game? I mean, there's no injury report released, so.
Well,
if he's not ready,
yeah.
Who's the backup left guard?
Well, I think that's the key, is moving him to guard makes him easier to replace than keeping him out at tackle, right? Because you can swap him out for a Josh Fryer or Matt Jones at guard, because those guys can play that.
Weibler.
But we're limited on tackles, you know. We got guys that I don't know if I feel great about, like Jacob James, Trey LaRue, Grant Toutant. I think Enoch Vamahi is probably going to be your guy to come in at either tackle spot. Because I don't know if they want to shuffle guys, like take DeJuan and send him over to the left.
No. I think they're going to ride with, if they put Nicholas Petit, MPF, over at left tackle, mm-hmm. and DeJuan at right, Thayer's going to be left guard, and if Thayer's not ready, they're going to go with probably Matt Jones, another guard, in that spot, and they're not going to try to. If DeJuan Jones is in the game, he's at right tackle. I don't think he's moving.
Right, I
agree. The only reason he's in the lineup, I think, is because he's exerted himself at right tackle.
Yeah, and Matt Jones is a
third-year guy. We don't know what's going on with Mumford, though. I mean,
he's dealt with back issues before, so he might have gotten dinged up.
Yeah, I mean, started camp, they said he was healthy, he was ready to go, out of Big Ten media days and everything. Mm-hmm. He felt good. So, yeah, he might have gotten dinged up here recently. I think that's Diamond Jackson, Matt Jones territory at left guard.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see if Donovan Jackson can get on that too deep.
I think he's on it.
You think so?
I got him at my right guard behind Paris.
So you think if, for instance, if Paris Johnson were to have, heaven forbid, have something happen to him during the game, where he had to come out, you think they'd slide Donovan Jackson in there? I think they'd put one of the guys that have been there for a long time.
I think it's Matt Jones. If Matt Jones isn't already in the game, Matt Jones is going in. The first guard spot, I think it's Matt Jones.
Now when the second offense comes in, I think Donovan Jackson would probably be on that spot. I don't think that they would throw him to the Wolves to start.
Okay.
Yeah, no, but second team O-line? Yeah, Diamond Jackson, right guard.
Yeah, that's where I have him. And I think in my two deep, I got Luke Whipler behind Harry Miller. So and Matt Jones can even go into center as well. He's practiced there. So I think tackle is my only concern because of the lack of experience behind the starters. You know, like I mentioned, I go Enoch Vamahi at left or right tackle, and then
basically we got four first round, first three round draft picks at left at tackle on here. Thayer Mumford, Memphis Petit Free, Paris Johnson, and DeJuan Jones. They're all going to be highly drafted tackles in the NFL.
Eventually,
Thayer may get moved to guard, but I mean, I think we're good at tackle right now. I think we got four amazing tackles right now.
But my point is, I don't know how much you want to go juggling guys in the middle of a game if your left tackle goes down.
I'm with you, Joe. Yeah, like Paris Johnson, we're not going to, like, because the tackle went down, we're not going to bounce Paris Johnson out to tackle and then bring in a new guard. Unless they know where that's where the depth is. You know, Donovan Jackson, I don't know, we don't know the extent of how flexible they're making the linemen.
Well,
Ohio State needs to rename all this, and it's outside left tackle, inside left tackle, center. I mean, we have tackles across the whole line right now.
Right, that's true.
It's all tackle.
So maybe
except for the center.
Maybe they kick out Thayer back to tackle and bring in Matt Jones or Donovan Jackson at guard. I would imagine left guard, right guard doesn't really matter.
That's probably what they're thinking, too. I mean, there's probably contingency plans for for a right tackle injury to MPF, you know, or to Duane Jones goes down, right leg injury. In the middle of the game, you got Paris Johnson in right guard. Do they want to slide Paris out to right tackle and, you know, bring in Donovan Jackson? When you got Harry Miller at center and our left guard is Mumford, say. You know, they're probably swapping out the guards more than they are the tackles. Yeah. But, you know, you're right. We do have we have two All-American tackles. That's proven. They've already earned it.
Right.
We have a third offensive tackle that's going to start.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. They're expecting two more. And if they're putting Duane Jones to right tackle, they're expecting him to be special. All-American special.
You know, what kills teams often is they lose a tackle. Iowa State, we can lose a tackle.
And we're right now we can, yeah. Yeah.
Because if you were to lose Johnson or Petit, you just slide Mumford back out there. Because everyone's going to start left tackle now. And that's, I mean, nothing could be easier. And then you slide in, like you said, Matt Jones. I like the way that O-line is set up right now. I'm so excited to see this O-line. It's how you win championships, and I think these guys are going to play with a little bit of an attitude. Mm-hmm.
I find it interesting that people are saying that this could be the best right side of the O-line, of an O-line in the country. Right side.
I'll go a step further.
I'm good with our left side, you know what I mean? Good with our left side.
That's my point.
Maybe you got to pull up some old lines for me, because I know I get recency bias.
Well, of course, Orlando Pace was on left tackle. Of course, Stringer was a right tackle at the time, together.
Yeah.
I don't know the right guard, but that's a good start right there with the two tackles.
That is a pretty good start.
Does it matter who the guards are?
I don't know the guard, though. I don't know the right guard.
Know the right guard.
Yeah, but we might be looking at not necessarily a pace, but high-level guys where these guys all could be Corey Stringers. All of them.
Yeah, true. It's exciting. It's insane because we do have the depth. We have the flexibility. We have the depth. And we've had one or the other through the years, but this year you feel good that five guys – could be interchangeable. They can change out if they needed to. That's comforting. I mean, the quarterback's going to need it. The running game, the explosive receiving, passing game, perfect mix right here. You couldn't ask for a better situation as a freshman quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, you kidding me?
We've finally gotten
you got the best O-line.
I'm elite everywhere. Everywhere around me, I'm catching a snap. There's elite everywhere.
Look at how many years it's taken to get this depth built up on the O-line. I mean, it was pretty shitty last, you know, I would say up until last year. It was pretty weak when you start looking at the two deep.
Oh, God. You remember when Demetrius Knox used to come into the game? I would text you, Joe, instantly. I'm like, oh, fuck me. Here we go.
Yep. Yep. Guys like that, I mean, Jesus. So, yeah. So that's our offense too deep. Like I mentioned earlier, please join us next week for the defense too deep in our Minnesota pregame breakdown. But to finish tonight's show, I had a quick topic. We don't have to go too deep on this. So I posed this to Sean earlier and wanted to get your opinion, Jeff, both of you actually at the same time, so the question is, of these four teams, do you see one of them with two losses on the regular season? Here are the four teams: Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Georgia. Do you see a team with two losses or more than one team?
Are we talking conference championship games too?
No, regular season only.
Yeah, I do.
Who is it?
Georgia.
Oh, wow. I think we landed on the same one. Sean, is that what you had?
Well, again, I think the question's doesn't add in Clemson. I think that early Clemson Georgia game kind of will decide if Georgia wins that. Georgia's not going to lose two games.
Well, okay. I'm picking Georgia to lose against Wisconsin, so that's where much of my two losses come in. But you're right. Yeah, it all hinges on the game. That game is a swing. That game is a swing game, for sure.
For sure. That's the game that's. And if Clemson loses that, you know, Clemson possibly lose two games. So that's I don't know. That's a great game. I can't wait to see that one.
Yeah, so I'm picking Clemson in that game. So I'm giving Georgia two losses. I'm giving Georgia loss against Clemson, and maybe a Florida game. I forget what the cross conference is. If they go to A&M,
no,
possibly. No, LSU.
Their schedule is really weak this year. It's like 60th most difficult in the country.
Imagine that. Oh, Georgia. Here we go. We're going to get the battle cries from Georgia all year.
Yeah.
And every year they'll shit the bed. And they'll go quietly.
Yeah, they'll end up losing to in Tennessee, you know, and ruining their whole season like they always do.
Oklahoma's got an easy fucking schedule, too. They're number 51.
They do.
Ours is 47th. So all these four teams,
Iowa State might get them once.
That's right.
Yeah,
and it might be the same as last year. You know, one of them trips the other one up in the regular season, and then they get revenge in the conference championship. I could either way.
Well, they got Iowa State and at Oklahoma State back to back.
At Iowa State, I mean, you said at Iowa State and then Bedlam. At Stillwater?
No. They got Iowa State at home and then at Oklahoma State to finish. But still, those are two challenging games for them.
Yeah, sure it is. Yeah, rivalry game where Oklahoma State's closer to Oklahoma than our rivalry is to us. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
And Texas will give them a game no matter what.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's it. That game can go either way. You know, that's a momentum game. You know, and Texas has players. They do have some players. Now, I don't know about Sorkin, how much defense they really are preaching, but that's still going to be a good game, a decent game. You know, it should be competitive, at least. It should be, unless Texas is just the bet completely.
Yeah. I don't see two losses on this Georgia schedule. I mean, I know they got dudes dropping like flies. They basically have almost no receiver room right now. But yeah, they just lost.
There are like five running backs out there.
But you love JT Daniels, really? You love him that much? You don't think they can lose two?
I think JT Daniels is terrible. I don't know why everybody is so high on him. When's the last time he played? I can't tell you.
Been a while.
I don't know if I've ever seen the guy play.
I saw him play for USC.
Yeah.
I saw him play for USC.
I didn't watch a lot of USC games. Not in the last 3 years.
You weren't missing much. It was just those late night covers.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at this Georgia schedule is Clemson, but it's in Charlotte, so you might want to call that a home game for Clemson.
I think Clemson's a better team than Georgia, so I'm picking Clemson to win that game. Mm. And so Georgia's with one loss. I think Georgia gets tripped up somewhere. That's all I'm saying. You know, they lose to Clemson, and they get tripped up somewhere.
Yeah,
I think Clemson's going to be trash. They're going to beat Clemson. Georgia, Ohio State, and the Natty.
What, you say Clemson's going to be trash?
Mark it down.
I think it's Ohio State, Georgia, and then playoffs. Maybe it's first round, but.
Oh, God. I couldn't imagine the joy I would get when I see Georgia facing us for the national championship.
Yeah,
Mark it down.
They took that Clemson-Georgia game off the board. Interesting. What's that?
Really? They took it off. No line.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. What do they know?
What's that?
What do they know? What does Vegas know?
Well, I think it's because of the injuries. I think it's the injuries that Georgia's, you know, sustained. They just had a DB. It would have been like a nickelback go out, and then a receiver, and that Eric Gilbert that transferred from LSU. He's out. He's like missing from the team for some reason. Yeah. Nobody will talk about, but it must be something personal. But yeah, their receiver core is like nobody. Like, I'm not sure they even have walk-ons to put on the field. They're down so far.
And JT Daniels is not the second coming. So, you think if Georgia squeaks past Clemson and then runs to the SEC East, I don't know what their cross matches are, and they meet Bama in the SEC championship. So, Sean, are you picking the SEC new winner, a new champion with Georgia?
Yeah.
Because they're going to make the playoffs. So, you saying zero undefeated or one with one loss?
They might have a loss in there, but they'll make the championship game and they'll beat Bama in it.
Here's a little taste of how Vegas sees Georgia right now. The two games that are on the board for this season has Georgia favored by 8 against Florida in Jacksonville, and then has them favored by 9 at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little flavor.
That's the game after. That's after the cocktail party. It's at Auburn. That might be the slip-up right there.
October 9th and October 30th. The Florida game's like 3 weeks later.
Oh. Man.
But look, that's basically on the road for them.
Yeah.
Twice, and they're favored by over a touchdown both places. Right. Georgia's loaded.
Yeah, definitely. I think it'll be interesting. I saw the Ohio State Oregon game just dropped down from 14 to 13, so I just grabbed that one for a little action.
Dude, it was 9.5 like 6 months ago.
Yeah,
wasn't it right? Am I right?
Less than 6 months ago. It was the summer.
Was 9.5?
Ohio State Oregon.
It jumped up. Yeah, I mean, we got Oregon coming in on a fucking noon kickoff for them, start the season. They're still going to be yawning when warm-up is going on. There's no excuse. We should put it on physically in the jump. Yeah, we're going to get a lot of receivers catching a lot of balls. Just going to be moving around. It's going to be fun. It's gonna be fun. I'm excited. Our offense, we have everything. We have depth of running back, depth of receiver, depth of O-line, and our top level is top notch everywhere. So
it's as usual, natty or bust type of year. I feel.
And it's playoff. It's playoff, right? It's playoff. We're not.
One of these quarterbacks has to play at a high level, and TBD on that back end of that defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the
scheme and I think you're going to have a lot of pressure up front from the line this year. I think you're going to have a lot of pressure, so I think that's going to help those guys out back there. But I guess we'll get into that next week.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that Big Ten schedule is really just a formality for us. I mean, we're set on a bigger goal. As long as they don't lose focus, we're going to be fine. But we're at that bigger goal. Like, they're off from the distance. Yeah, we know where they need to be. They're just going to work towards it as the season builds. That's what we want to see. Building towards that playoff. Because they played the best competition, Clemson and Alabama last year. They know they're going to see them again. Just having that laser focus on week by week, but knowing what's there.
All right, folks. Great show. That was your offensive two deep. like I mentioned earlier, we're going to hit you with the defense too deep next weekend, and then we'll get you ready for the Minnesota game. And, wow, I can't believe week one's going to be here in less than 2 weeks. So, as always, please don't forget to rate and review the show. It helps other people find us. And hit us up on social media. Jeff, Sean, appreciate you joining us tonight. Thank you.
No doubt.
See you later, boys.
All right, brother.
See you.